The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Bernie. Now that we've told you all the news that they want you to believe, time to talk about the real news. Conspiracy, a history of bollocks theories and how not to fall for them is a new book. It is written by Tom Phillips and John Elledge and it explores the greatest conspiracy theories ever told, new and old. It also teaches us how not to fall for these theories themselves when we stumble upon them in the dark recesses of the internet. Tom Phillips, one of the authors, joins me now. Tom, you're very welcome to the show. It is good to talk to you. Where did the idea for this book come from?
Well, so, I mean, I've been a fan of conspiracy theories, and that's maybe not quite the right word to use. What's the opposite? An anti-fan. I've been fascinated by conspiracy theories for a very long time. I used to work at a fact-checking organization, and we did that sort of throughout the pandemic, when you may have noticed there were one or two conspiracy theories going around. So it was like, it was really sort of, it was my day-to-day life for quite a while, just kind of taking on and trying to gently explain to people that no, there are not microchips in the vaccines.
Have they always been with us?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, is like, we often think that conspiracy theories have kind of been spawned by the internet, you know, and, you know, it's definitely made it easier to spread them. But they've been with us for a very, very long time, as the book kind of goes into. Some of the theories that are still with us today have histories that go back hundreds of years, you know, sort of a lot of them are just people are still really mad about the French Revolution.
Tell me a little bit about a conspiracy theory then connected to the French Revolution.
Well, you may have heard of a little group called the Illuminati.
Oh, God.
The Illuminati. Yeah, you know, them, the big ones. Well, of course, the thing is, the Illuminati were a real group. They just weren't shadowy puppet masters ruling the world. They were a small group of Bavarian academics who lasted for about less than a decade before they kind of got shut down. But for complex reasons, mostly to do with Bavarian local politics in the late 1700s, they got blamed for the French Revolution. And everything you've heard since, every sort of idea that the Illuminati control the world stems from this idea that this tiny, inconsequential group were somehow to blame for the monarchy being overthrown in France.
And what does a conspiracy theory like that, that's been around since the French Revolution, what does it have in common with a more modern conspiracy, a COVID conspiracy, for example?
Well, I mean, lots of the COVID conspiracies were based on the idea that there is sort of this aim for one world government, for the new world order, which is a very common phrase that goes around. Lots of them really had at the heart that, you know, vaccines were a tool of population control that the one world government, the new world order wants. And all of those theories directly stem from the Illuminati theory about the French Revolution. There's a lineage that you can kind of trace, and the book does this, that shows how people were influenced and directly repeated the earlier conspiracy theories and then updated them with the sort of the anxieties and the fears of their modern age. And so often conspiracy theories are not new. They're actually repurposed old theories that are being updated.
So, have you a favorite conspiracy theory?
One of my favorites, and this is in the book, is something called the Phantom Time Theory, which is just that there's about 300 years of history that never happened. Like, from about 700 AD to 1000 AD in medieval Europe, just all of that's made up. It just, none of that happened. We're actually living in sort of like we're actually living in the early 1700s now,
yeah,
not the 2000s. And it's an incredibly complicated theory that is based on absolutely nothing, but it's really fascinating when you get into it. But I love the ambition of it, just going, yeah, 300 years of history didn't happen.
And what's that born of, that one? Like, what's the motivation? I can understand, like, the Bavarian Illuminati, right through to the conspiracy theorists around COVID today. I can understand the appeal on some psychological level that there is more order to the universe than there might otherwise be. But I mean, well, what's the motivation for 300 years of history having been invented?
I mean, there's a lot of this stuff that kind of goes on where you're you know, people start to pick at like a little thing that annoys them, and then they end up kind of going down this sort of rabbit hole and becoming obsessed by it. When people talk about sort of history, and there are lots of conspiracy theories about history, it's often because the history that they see doesn't reflect what they want. It doesn't reflect their beliefs. There's another one which is very similar, which is that in fact lots of ancient history never happened, like the Roman Empire, most of that never happened. Which is entirely, it was a Russian theorist who came up with it, and that's entirely on the basis that the new chronology that he comes up with puts Russia at the center of everything. And so you see this across the board, is when people talk about history and that history is made up, it's normally because the real history doesn't reflect their preferences.
So what does it say then, or what does it tell us about the type of people who are attracted to these theories? You know, that this Russian individual or somebody else looks at the Dark Ages and for some reason they just don't like the explanation for what happened for those 300 years. So they come up with this idea that it never existed. Now, you and I can kind of scoff at that and think, isn't this hilarious? And almost admire the ingenuity of the people who have engineered the theory. But what about the people who are attracted and believe the theory?
Well, this is the thing, is that actually all of us are kind of susceptible to this sort of thing. None of us likes to be proven wrong. You know, like as humans, we just have this really strong impulse to kind of ignore evidence that contradicts our beliefs and, you know, only focus on the things that do. And so it's kind of a really, really inbuilt thing that we have. In terms of who believes conspiracy theories, like there are examples that basically anybody can do. I mean, the people we talk about in the book, where, you know, it's not just, you know, sick people, basically. Like there are some, you know, there are acclaimed mathematicians and physicists, there are Nobel laureates, there are kings and priests, and, you know, the people who believe these are often very well educated, and, you know, are otherwise you would think would be quite sound people. But actually, it turns out once they are presented with something where reality contradicts how they'd like the world to be, they're very, very easily drawn into going, no, I prefer the explanation that backs up what I already thought.
You mentioned the internet. Of course, the internet helps the proliferation of all of these theories and exposes them to a much wider audience. I wonder as well, does the nature of debate on social media, does it compound those problems of entrenchment that you talk about? You know, that we're kind of predisposed to not give up our position if it's something we've believed. And you see that, like, people are much more tribal than they are online, and that bleeds into the real world. And there's an argument that, you know, a lot of people, more and more people now, will believe the person rather than reality, or they will follow the person rather than the reality of their own eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the thing. And once again, this has always been the case. Like, people have always preferred to follow a person rather than the evidence. You know, you can find examples of that going back hundreds and hundreds of years. But it's absolutely true. The internet really does kind of give us a really good forum for polarizing debates and kind of doing all that. Partly it's because you're in a little bubble where, you know, you can protect yourself from evidence that contradicts you. The other side of it is that also you're exposed to more of the other side as well, you know, and it's easier to kind of cherry pick, going like, oh, look, my enemies are bad because I found this example of one of my enemies doing this and another example of my enemy doing that. And, you know, it's very easy to construct an image of your political opponents, your cultural opponents, whatever it might be, that is not just something you disagree with, but is actually evil, because you're able to go like, well, look, they did this bad thing there, there, and there.
I heard someone explain it once, and I wonder what your assessment of this explanation is, that it's kind of like a Chinese finger trap, the good conspiracy theories, that the harder you pull, the tighter the trap becomes. That the really good ones, that what they're successful at is using counter arguments to actually boost their own cause. So almost like, well, of course Tom would say that. Of course Tom would present that evidence. Of course Tom's experiments would yield those results. Tom is part of the conspiracy.
Well, exactly. And let me tell you, I have had plenty of this in recent years. You know, all the way when you're sort of, you know, trying to fact check stuff in the pandemic, you've got people going like, well, obviously you're in the pay of big pharma. I'm just going like, I wish. That would be lovely. You know, it's like, if I'm part of a secret organization, then they're clearly not very good at organizing because I've got none of the memos about this. But yeah, no, it is absolutely true that conspiracy theories really do have this kind of self-reinforcing thing built into them, where anything that contradicts the evidence that you're presented with can just be dismissed as being part of the theory. And it's one of the reasons why they're kind of so pernicious and so hard to shift once people get into them, is because, yeah, is any contradictory evidence is just, well, they would say that, wouldn't they? Because, you know, look, it's just, in fact, it becomes evidence of just how far the conspiracy stretches, that, you know, you and I are both part of it.
But Tom, you know that old phrase, you know, just because you're paranoid, it doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Some of them, I'm sure, must have been true when you dug into them, were they?
This is one of the things about conspiracy theories, is that, of course, yes, there really are conspiracies in the world. They're not generally the big sci-fi, you know, shadowy elite controlling the globe kind of thing, but there are definitely cases in history. I mean, if you look at the era of the history of the Cold War era, you know, some of the stuff the CIA was doing during that time was mad. And, you know, so there are absolutely conspiracy theories. You know, if you look at assassinations of politicians, like, that really has been an extremely common cause of death of politicians over the years. And most of those are conspiracies. So this is one of the problems that we encounter all the time trying to write about this, is that you have to acknowledge, yes, sometimes the conspiracy is real. That doesn't mean that every conspiracy is real, which is the trouble, that's the mindset that most conspiracy theorists right now have.
Well, Richard the Thatcher is, after texting in, Tom, on 53106, he is dangerously close to getting lost down the rabbit hole. What about the conspiracy theory that the conspiracy theories that are out there are put out there as part of a conspiracy to distract and conceal people from the real conspiracies that are going on? So says Richard. Somebody else is just wondering, wait a second, are you and Tom really telling us that the earth isn't flat? 53106 is the text number. The name of the book is Conspiracy, A History of Bollocks Theories and How Not to Fall for Them. One of the authors is Tom Phillips. Tom, an absolute pleasure, and thanks a million for joining us here on the show. Lisa says, I'd love to know if your guest thinks these conspiracy theories are getting more popular lately with the rise of the right, or if we are just hearing more about them. It's a good question, Lisa. I think Tom certainly is putting down the proliferation of them to a large degree down to the internet. Chris says, what about there being aliens at Area 51? I can never decide how seriously to take that one. And another listener, I try not to fall into this stuff, but, and it's a big but, the collapse of Building 7 on 9/11 has never been explained. 53106, if you've got an answer, if you've got the resolution to that particular theory, do get in touch at a cost of 30 cents. After the break in business, the euro edges nearer parity with the dollar.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.